afternoon. This is Rob.
Abe?
Hello. Hey, Rob, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Doing well, thanks. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Is it just us so far?
It's just us so far.
All right. Well, I know Anthony is going to be joining us in a minute.
Okay.
We're not in the same physical location at the moment. But he should be coming in just a second.
So what's on your mind this Happy New Year?
I have my first meeting tomorrow morning with the United Way, the audit committee of the United Way. Hello? Hello?
Anthony?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry, mate.
That's
No problem.
okay.
No problem. Rob asked me what was on my mind. I was gonna start, asking him about the meeting I have tomorrow. It's the first meeting of the audit committee with the United Way.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, any, Rob, what that committee does, if you're not familiar, is that they basically work to make sure that the money is being spent as properly by the recipients, and also they're basically a bunch of CPAs, which is of course why I was interested in getting on the committee. They make sure that the recipient organizations are generating the results that they're supposed to for each grant. You know,
Good. Okay. Yep.
not just that they have receipts for everything, but rather that, you said you wanted $1 million to improve, whatever. And, let's see the results that you're generating from that $1 million.
Right.
Yeah, so I think it'll be good. I mean, I have an interest in it, and but also, my client, who was a CPA, is a CPA, was on that committee for a long time, and she said it's all CPAs. So I'm hopeful that they'll accept me, even though I don't necessarily have the same accounting background.
Oh, I think they will. I think you can look at it as long as you understand balance sheets and accounting,
Yeah,
you'll be fine, you know.
I think so. So, how do you recommend handling this? I mean, what is the objective? Just go meet everybody.
It's to go meet everybody. In relationship building, whether you're at a cocktail party or you're going to a board meeting or whatever, you want to get there early. Meet some people, and what you're interested in is finding out about them. So to
Yeah.
be interesting, be interested. So
Right.
your goal is to meet people and find out what you have in common with them. Okay, so this is friend making. So how do you make
Gotcha.
friends? You sit there and I always tell people any meeting, now this is not a business meeting. So this will be 100% you listening to them as to why they're terrific and why you guys might be friends. Okay?
Yeah.
Typically in a business meeting, you spend the second half of the meeting. The first half is what you have in common. The second half is why are you different?
Okay.
And why are they different business-wise? Okay, so you want to know about their practice. So if you have time, certainly ask them about their practice and why they're
Yeah.
different. Okay, that's a good
Okay.
idea. That's never a bad idea. And what you want to do is find out whether, you're trying, and the same things about you, right? Your ideal client size, et cetera. What's your minimum? How many clients do you have? What's your practice like? What do you specialize in? What's your niche?
I mean,
Okay.
I have a concern around being perceived as too networky, if that's a word, meaning,
No. You're just interested in referring business to them. they'll never be hesitant to tell you about them. Where you get in trouble is where people get in trouble is talking about themselves.
Okay.
So you're not going to talk about yourself at all.
Got it. I mean, should I keep up more about the mission of the organization and the committee and all that at first?
Sure, of course, during the meeting, but you're going to go there early and you're going to spend a few minutes after. And when you do that, you get to know people.
Is it tacky to exchange business cards or no?
It's what you should try and do is get one. Remember I said the purpose of every meeting is to create another meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what you want is, in this case, you want to move the relationship forward. So if you're going to date somebody, what would you do?
I mean, I guess so I would, you know, try and get their number.
Well, and you'd set a date, right? You'd have lunch.
Right.
Let's have lunch.
That sounds good.
Yeah, I mean, if you hit it off, don't make it awkward.
Yeah,
you know,
sure, of course.
You don't want to just have lunch to have lunch with somebody. You want to, somebody that you hit it off with, you want to move to the next step, which is, you know, I'd love to get to know you a little better. You know, we're in the same building. We're in the same market. We're in the same something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always interested in getting to know people and what they do and how they do it.
That makes sense.
There's nothing wrong with that. You're friend making.
Yeah.
You know, if you have something in common that makes sense, you both play a sport that you want to share, golf, tennis, you know, whatever, running, crew,
mm-hmm.
do that, you know, set up a date for that.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so it's however, you know, the purpose of the first meeting is to get to know everybody. If you can get another appointment out of it, great. Then you want to do that at each meeting, get to know a different person until you get to know everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say that. I'm just trying to really get to know everybody. You know, I'd love to get together and have coffee and or get to know, you know, have lunch or play golf or something.
That makes sense.
Okay. So it's rather than going and, you know, come in late, hear the meeting, leave early, and never really meet anybody or get any conversation going. Remember, you're running for office here. You want to be the president. You want to be the head of the department. You want to be the head of the audit committee.
That sounds good.
And so
you
got to get votes, right?
Yeah.
You're trying to get votes.
Right. That sounds good. The other organization, Breakthrough Miami, that I really resonated with, I went to one of their Saturday events, and I was really impressed. But the follow-up with the people around the board has not been great. I mean, we talked about me coming onto the board and then scheduled a breakfast meeting with some of the board members. And then they actually canceled that meeting and requested alternate dates. They keep requesting alternate dates and, then never, you know, getting back to me. So, you know, I've had to, you know, ping them a couple of times with like, hey guys, you know, I'm really interested. Let's get this, you know, moving. And, you know, it's always, oh, yeah, sorry, we really are interested. But, you know, to use your dating analogy, I kind of get the feeling like they're just not that into me, you know?
That's funny. Who is the head of the there's a committee for new members?
I mean, that's, I guess, well, I know the development lady I met, and I also know the executive director. You know, Anthony, maybe you can speak to this. I mean, you know Lorianne also.
Yeah, I mean,
do you think I should just stay persistent because they're a little disorganized, or what do you think?
I think so. having worked with her in the past, she's got her hand in so many different jars. She's doing so many things at a time, and she tries to please everybody. You know, she sometimes might get, I don't think distracted is the right term, but just overbooked. You know, so I think staying on top of her would be. She's not gonna get angry by any means, or you know, dissuaded
sure.
by any chance. So I think,
gotcha.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
And I guess, I mean, if they're not interested, they'll tell me. You know, it's not like I should
oh,
be
yeah.
worried about, like, you know,
no.
worried about that.
No, no, your money's good, right?
Yeah.
You can put it anywhere you want. And do they want it or not?
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
listen,
those are really...
The reality is that most people really are well-intentioned and suck at their job.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's my assumption on everybody. That they're really good intention and they suck. And so you just assume that they're terrible and they don't know how to follow up. And they're well-intentioned. They're good people, but they need you desperately. And that's,
yeah.
you know, I would say 90% of the cases, that's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they get money because they've got a good story. They get money if they got good people. They don't get money because they have a great marketing campaign.
Right.
Okay?
Gotcha.
And they don't get money because they have a organized campaign for fundraising. They just get
mm-hmm.
money because they got a good cause.
Gotcha.
And so maybe because their cause is so good, they don't have to work at it. And so they're a mess.
Yeah.
But all the more reason that you pursue it.
That makes sense.
I mean, if they're this screwed up, you can really make a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Anthony, would you... I mean, you were very kind in your words about your former associate, but in reality, that's pretty bad business practice.
Yeah, no, I agree. Listen, she's a wonderful person. I love her to death, you know, but there were some times, like I said, where she would just get, you know, completely overloaded and maybe a couple of things would slip through the cracks.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Shooting. Sometimes I send her texts, and sometimes you know she doesn't respond just because of how much she's already doing.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, I don't think she would get offended or even bothered if you were to just reach out. But if she's not reaching out to you and you feel if you're bothered by it, then by all means, you know, I don't want you to think that you know I'm gonna think any less of you. I just wanted to make the introduction.
Oh no, I know that
for you. Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah, and I do think it is a good fit, you know. It's
Yeah.
I mean, I do think it is a good fit. That's why I want to pursue it. I really liked them. I mean, I liked her. I like you know, I liked the organization and the mission. Yeah, so I don't have any concerns around that. You know, it's just like sometimes, you know, you're trying to date a girl and like maybe you get, you know, she kind of mm-hmm. goes on a few dates, but you feel like, wow, it seems like we had a good connection, but it doesn't seem
yep.
to be going anywhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. So did she, did you have lunch and dinner or what did you have with her?
I had a meeting with her and her, her development director. And then they invited me to come to, the kids in the program go, to, I think one Saturday a month, they go to the schools. And then it's like it's also 6 weeks in the summer, so I got to observe firsthand how a Saturday works, and it was really awesome. I mean, you know, in the true sense of the word, you know, not like this bagel is awesome, but like really awe inspiring what they were doing for the kids. And so we also talked about trying to schedule a financial literacy lecture for the kids. And they wanted me to do it on a day that was, I couldn't make it. So, you know, we're kind of that, I think it's just kind of the holidays stopped the momentum. on things.
Yeah,
you know,
they
invited me to present a program to the kids, so obviously there's interest there.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. So I suspect it just needs to, you know, it's like, hey, welcome, Happy New Year. You know, let's get back in the swing of things. Let's pick up the ball again, and you know, maintain and get the momentum going again.
Yeah, I think.
I mean, the more
I think.
Yeah.
I think that's right.
Yeah. So. What do you
like? If you like this work, you have time, you
mm-hmm.
can, you know, you can take on more than two. The two is based on the typical time available by a busy financial advisor.
Right.
So if you think, no, I got, you know, I really like this. I had one guy, that's all he did. He was on probably five boards at a time.
Wow.
And he was constantly at board meetings and constantly rolling from one board to another.
Wow.
And he was a really big producer. And that's how he did it. He was just that was his brand.
That's great.
You know, it was his college, university, and it was other things, and he was the guy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and he was good at it, and everybody liked him. It's so funny because, you know, he had completely two personalities. One was his board personality, which was outgoing and gregarious and happy. And then there was one in the office where he was just a curmudgeon, you know. So it's really strange to work with him. Yeah, and I got the brunt of the curmudgeon as his manager.
Sure,
but
of course.
I admired him. And I gave him awards for the community service that he delivered.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I think he just, I mean, he did what he figured out what he could do that he enjoyed, that would make him look good, that where he could really help the community. And he enjoyed it so much, he took on this persona of a happy person.
That's funny.
It is funny. It's completely, you know, it's completely schizophrenic.
Well, Anthony, do you have anything on your mind? I want to make sure I'm not, you know, monopolizing the call.
Just in the way that my last couple of months has gone, I got a call from referred. Somebody who worked at Publix, I even mentioned this to you. And I guess initially when I heard that the individual worked at Publix, I guess subconsciously I'm like, well, this guy can't have too much money. So I wasn't too enthused about the call. I took the call and I spoke to the individual, super nice guy. You know, we started talking for a little bit and then we finally got into numbers. And it turns out he's got close to about $1 million, which is right up my alley, you know.
Sure.
So I was pretty stoked about that. I ran a plan for him. You know, after about 2 or 3 weeks, his wife, he and his wife came in. We met. They loved the plan. You know, they were very happy with the level of service and everything that I provided to them. So much so that they're not even a client yet, but he's going to retire in March and transfer everything over. But he's already starting to refer me, you know, either ex-employees or employees of Publix, which is, I guess, turning out to be hopefully my niche, because it turns out, obviously, that these Publix employees get a lot of stock options. And this, you know, this individual himself, he wasn't even a manager or assistant manager. He simply worked in the produce department as a, you know, like a clerk or,
You're kidding.
Stock the shelves, yeah. So he's got, like I said, he's got about $1 million, and then he just referred me an assistant manager who's got about 1.3, 1.4.
That's crazy.
You know? So I'm thinking this might be... From my understanding is they have, you know, somebody who comes in to speak to them, I guess, from the 401k side, whatever company that they use.
Yep.
But there's nothing that says that an independent can't go in there, you know, if they develop relationships or something like that. So I'm going to kind of work this angle and, you know, see if I can, you know, work the public's angle.
Okay, so he's a center of influence inside a niche. So make up a folder for him.
Okay.
Okay, and make and give him one. It's all about you and your team. And a place for notes. And then meet with him once a month in person and go through the list. And then who else? Who else? Who else? Who else?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, I'm just trying to, and I, you know, I've gotten to know him a little bit better. We're pretty friendly
yep.
for the most part, but I've known him for about 2 or 3 months. I'm not sure if he'd be keen to meeting, you know, once a month to, you know, to describe or to discuss.
He doesn't even have an account yet, and he's
yeah.
already referring people to you.
Right. Okay. Maybe it's just my hesitation.
Right. Don't be negative.
Rob, if he's a guy who stocks the shelves in the produce department in one store, pretty quickly they'll have gone through the list of everyone who works in that store? Who has any kind of seniority?
Most
I mean,
of the time
they
move.
All...
You'd be surprised. These guys move around. I met some
yeah.
people at Publix in Nashville, and they were there to open the store, and they moved around from department to department. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's not going to hurt you to have a couple of meetings with them. I'm not saying to
yeah.
do this forever and plan on it as – you know, he's the center of the universe. But
mm-hmm.
you want to get after this.
Absolutely.
Because every day that you don't get everybody that he knows, somebody else could get everybody that he knows.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
What I found was that when I, like we had UPS as a niche, pretty good
mm-hmm.
example. You know, everybody came out of there when they went public with money. And they never had money, and they knew nothing,
right.
and they desperately needed us. So we had seminars for them, and I got up and spoke as the manager. We had people get up and speak. We had the FA get up and speak. We gave them good ideas and all kinds of – it was just interesting. And we really built momentum. I did it in every single market. But here's what I found. People said, yeah, I'm really penetrating UPS. And I'd say, how many clients do you have? And there'd be like – you know, 200 people that work there. And you say, oh, I've got 6 people. Right? And I was like, yeah, what about the other 194? You see?
No, it's true. And then sometimes they know others in different publixes, and maybe you make a connection with
and
somebody.
And they also know people that have retired and maybe come back and work part-time,
right?
But never have hooked up with anybody. They still have it in the old 401k. They've never rolled it over. You know, people that
yeah,
don't get
right.
good advice really don't get good advice and do stupid
right.
things.
My brother-in-law
yes,
actually
for
worked
sure.
for a separate, for a different Publix. He's not all there, if you know what I mean. He's not, you know, mentally ill, but he's just not all there, let's just say. So it's not somebody that I can really talk to ask for referrals, because he probably wouldn't even know, you know, what to do. But somehow maybe I can kind of infiltrate, you know, maybe his Publix and talk to some of his coworkers.
Sure.
Yeah.
People probably think the world of him because he works hard and goes to work every day and is a productive
oh,
member
yeah.
of society. And and
I call that sick in like 15 years.
See, that's what I'm telling you. I mean,
yeah.
just think about that. It's a good thing for him. It's a good thing for the public. It's a good thing for Publix.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful story.
Yep.
So your goal is obviously to get every manager in every Publix that you can see on a map. Because they're going to have 2 million.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you've got yourself a niche that no one is prospecting because they all made the same assumption. Nobody has any money there because they're all clerks.
Right.
Right? I'd never work there, quote, says everybody, especially our industry.
Right.
So there
sure.
you go. You got same as UPS. Nobody'd work at UPS throwing a bunch of wearing a brown suit, shirt and shorts and running around in a summer at 90 degrees. Who'd do that? Well, these guys walked away with $2, 3, 4 million. Managers, $5, 6 million.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I think I might just.
It's a great country.
You know, cold. I guess you can call it cold knocking in different Publixes in Miami.
Right.
Passing out cards.
So
you do you think that could be effective? Just ask to talk to the man. Ask to meet the manager.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, listen. What are you going to get? A no.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. I don't have an, and I can. I mean, I wouldn't want to. I can say that I work with individuals who work for Publix, you know, in within my practice or something along those lines. I wouldn't want to say I'm a Publix, you know, retirement specialist, obviously, but something that.
Well, why don't you become one?
Yeah. No, I.
How hard would it be to be an expert in Publix retirement plan?
That's true. I mean, the retirement plan that I saw for this individual where he showed me his statements, it's basically, you know, small 401k. You know, I don't have information on all the funds available, but the majority of their retirement assets come from that stock option purchase plan.
Right.
Which is all public stock.
All right. So is it your brother that works there?
No. Well, my brother-in-law does work there, but aside from that,
Yeah, brother-in-law. Okay.
Right.
The brother-in-law, right. though, could get you a copy of the benefit plan.
True. Very true.
And your purpose in getting that benefit plan is to help him make better decisions.
Yeah, that's something I'm really going to pursue.
You know, I coached my niece's husband. He worked for Merrill Lynch, and I gave him a year of coaching free. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Why did I do that?
To help your niece.
Help my niece and help my brother, make my brother happy, right? Because his daughter is the most important thing in the world to him. And they were about to move out of Greensboro, which is where my brother lives, and moved because he thought the opportunities were better because he sucked at prospecting and he didn't see where he could go. He was getting good accounts up in New Jersey. In a year, I completely turned around his practice and he's still in Greensboro and being very successful now. So
that's awesome.
Now that took me a year of my life, but it was only really, 12 hours or something. And my brother will never forget what I did. And he's one of the most important people in my life.
Yeah.
So you help your brother-in-law, who would really value it, to make some better decisions, everybody in your family will think you're a hero.
Yeah, of course. I actually reviewed his 401k about a year ago and reallocated it. But I, you know, this was a year ago when I didn't even think of Publix as an option to prospect. So I think that's a great idea to get the retirement plan and become well versed in what they offer and maybe do that. Go knocking in Publix's and. Try to talk
right.
To
I think in a weekend of hard study, you can be an expert on their plan.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, if you ask, you know, they're going to come out and meet you. And, you know, they're going to, I mean, if you tell them, hey, I'm an expert in Publix retirement, I'm here to help and see if you are any of the other managers or even any of the employees need any help, offer my assistance. You know, you never know where that could lead. I mean, it could lead to individual clients. It could also lead to seminars or, you know, things like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. This is why I teach niche marketing, along with the other six strategies for acquiring new business, because it works. It works, and it's fun. Isn't it? You're having fun, right? It's fun.
Oh yeah, it's fun getting new accounts.
Yeah, it's fun, and it's fun getting them in bundles.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, we hit a gold mine. I mean, it was like $5 and $6 million accounts just coming one right after another. It was
awesome.
Wonderful. And then we did it in every market. And guess what? It was just as good in every market, and nobody was doing it. I'd go into a market, Little Rock, Arkansas, and I'd ask about the UPS operation there, and I knew it was a big one, right? Because I did my homework ahead of time. Who in the office is working on UPS? No one, right? No one. No idea. I build a team. I find out who's good at this kind of work. And I built a team to go in there. The team was built, but I educated them, showed them how to do it. They went in and cracked it open and hit the gold mine. You know, it was a vein of gold. They just brought in the account. I did it in Lexington, I mean, in Louisville, Kentucky, Indianapolis. I did it in multiple markets, wherever there was a decent St. Louis. You can imagine how exciting as a district director. You're actually putting money in guys' pockets now.
That's great.
Yeah, and so why do you think I believe in this so much? Because I've done it, you know? So.
Were there guys that turned you down?
No. I didn't go to guys that would turn me down.
That's true.
This was a gift. You know, I'd talk to the manager. We'd come up with the right team and guys that were hungry and had the time. And then we'd go and they'd go and do it. And it was so much fun. And then we'd just do that with different – not everybody's going to be a UPS, you know, going public and having all that money and nobody thinking they have any money. Do you know who told me about it? A lawyer. The lawyer in Indianapolis said, Rob, UPS has got a lot of money. You should prospect them.
Wow.
Imagine that. Not my own guys. Nobody in the office.
Mm-hmm.
This is a lawyer that helped UPS with their legal work. He said, these guys are getting a lot of money. I should go back and thank him for that. But I wasn't good as you guys could be. I didn't build folders, you know, and all that stuff. I didn't really work. I mean, I did as a district director, but I was a district director. I was busy, right? If I did it today, I'd be so much better.
So how do I find one of those? Just keep my eyes open and be constantly asking the right questions.
Right. Be creative.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta be curious and creative. So you ask people, ask your lawyer friends. You know what's going on in the community. Who's making money these days?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where's the money? I used to ask people, who's the best salesman you've ever met? That's how I recruited guys.
Yeah.
I mean, from other industries, from real estate and everything else, I bring them into our business. So you just ask good questions, and people love to hear those. They never think about this stuff either. So you're always hunting for the money. Where's the gold? Where's the vein of gold? Where's the vein of silver? You know, where is it that nobody knows about? Nobody's thinking about. Oh, these guys are coining it. Well, look at, I mean, what I did was I made a list of, you know, Indianapolis Business Journal gave you and gives you today, just like Miami Business Journal, I guarantee you, gives you a list of every business in your community. And you look at the public and private, and you go through and you say, of these businesses, who's killing it? Oh, I never knew these guys were here. Look at this, is this guy, this is a public company here. I never even thought of it. What I did was then I would assign the list to you and everybody else in the office, and they'd have 6 months to develop the case, and then I'd take it away from them. And I knew who the guys that were hustling and who weren't. But they'd have 6 months to develop it.
And I mean, maybe this is obvious, but what do you do? I mean, let's say there's some company here that, I never knew these guys were in South Florida. Okay, so then how do I approach them, and what am I trying to accomplish?
You do the same thing that we just did. You brainstorm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So
okay.
Anthony, you know, and what Anthony did was give us information, but he did not see it as the same way that I saw it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Anthony will give you information and you'll see it differently. You'll give Anthony information and he'll see, why don't you work with him?
Right.
You need a center of influence inside the company. Just one.
Gotcha.
To get your foot in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Once you decide that you can get in, there's a need because it's not overserved. And overserved, like I said, you know, these guys have 6 accounts out of 200, out of 196, 94. So that wasn't overserved. I had 9 guys working on Eli Lilly.
Uh-huh.
9 FAs making a living on one company. 9. And they all worked fine together. No fights.
That's great.
Yeah, it was organized. So what you do, though, is you have to become, once you figure out you've got a gold mine, it's good. Mm-hmm. The people need you. You're getting a good reception, and they are willing. What you do is you become an expert on their plan, because they're not interested in talking to an insurance agent. They're interested in talking to somebody that's an expert on their plan and can give them good, unbiased advice.
That all makes sense.
Now, this is particularly good for somebody like Anthony starting out, where he wants to have, you know, lots of $1 and $2 million clients. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
For you want the executive suite. You want 5 and 6 and $10 million clients. So you just would, I mean, that's why you two guys could work great together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying, Anthony, that you don't want $5 and $6 million clients, but there's a lot of times it's a confidence thing, you know. If I worked with my partner here, we could get a lot of these $5 and $6 million.
Certainly.
So why can't you get the executive suite of public? Well, you don't know if you could or you couldn't. Maybe it's available.
Right. Right.
And maybe the two of you go get it, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Eva, I what I'm envisioning is kind of like maybe setting aside, you know, 2 or 3 hours or whatever, a morning or an afternoon once a week, I guess, from now until whenever, and kind of just going to visit different publics and,
right,
you know, trying to talk to the manager and hand out cards, you know, and see if anything bears fruit from there, you know, and then obviously keep
right.
I think that's I think that's a great first step, you know, and see where that takes you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then start, you know, observe what other companies are here that stocks have appreciated, where they take good care of their people, they pay them well, and they give them stock options. Stock options is the key.
Yeah.
Those guys didn't make it by taking an income. They got that million because they took stock options. They got stock options. And the company that gives stock options down to the guy that's taking care of the produce department is a pretty enlightened company and a good company.
For sure.
Okay.
Yep.
So this is a very good case study for both of you. And what you want to do is just say, okay, we're going to meet once a week and talk about niche market. We'll just spend an hour. Just figure it out. Look at all the companies, kind of filter them down. Which are the ones that stock have good stocks that performed well, decent mark, you know, give stock up, you know, learn, right? You got a lot of homework to do. So start doing your homework. You should be an expert on your market. And just here's the answer. Here's the reality. People in our business are terrible marketers. They're not experts on marketing, and they don't even know their own market.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And what's that mean? Opportunity, right?
Yep.
And how many do you need?
Sure.
A good niche, you need two or three. That's all you need. Because what's wrong with him referring you to his buddy at, you know, the produce department in, you know, the Publix in Fort Myers, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's worth taking a drive over there and picking up $2 million, right?
Absolutely.
So you're not restricted by your own geography. So you got all of Florida.
Hell, I'll go to Lakeland where the headquarters is for all the executives. Abe and I will take an extra road trip.
Right. So if you guys get if you get me the list and break it down, you know, put it on a spreadsheet or something, or just give me a list and break it down, I will help you to sift through it and do some screening as to which companies would be the best. I think you can do it, but I'd be happy to help. If you want to send it to me, I'd be happy to do it. I can look online and do it in 10 minutes, but I'd like for you to do it and then involve me.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
So you want a list of the publicly traded companies in South Florida, basically?
Yeah, the ones that are in your market.
Okay.
And then get to their employees, possibly giving them.
We'll start with your market first, and then we'll go from there.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay. Rob, you live in Nashville?
I'm over in Boca Grande on the West Coast.
Oh, okay. But you used to live in Nashville?
Yeah, I live in Nashville half the year now.
Okay. Well, actually,
yeah.
I'm headed there for the first time in June.
Well, they've got one brand new Publix downtown that's fabulous.
That's not kind of where I was headed at, but no, I mean, I've never been, so when it comes time to it, I'll ask for recommendations.
Yeah, so go to Publix and introduce yourself to the manager, set up an appointment,
and say
you're the expert on the pension plan and benefits plans for Publix. You'd love to come and see him when you're in Nashville.
Sounds
then
good.
You pay for the trip, write it off, let Uncle Sam help you.
There you go. I like the way you think.
Yes, yes. I'm a businessman.
Good.
All right?
All right.
Let's have some fun with this.
Sounds good.
Rock and roll. All right. Good
guys.
Right.
Thanks,
go.
Rob.
All right, guys.
Thanks.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Bye.